Alleluia! He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Alleluia! Our gospel for this Easter Sunday comes for us from the last bit of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. This is how the gospel of Mark ends. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, I saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Please be seated. The sunrise service was a little, I was a little worried about it for a little while this morning because I'm like, all right, is it going to rain or is it just going to blow us away or what's all going to happen? And, you know, I guess God said, no, you can have an outdoor service. But trust me, in all my previous congregations in Illinois and Wisconsin, I never did a sunrise service outside. I have colleagues back in the Midwest who are going, oh yeah, we got a foot of snow for Easter Saturday. Yay! I wonder what's going to do attendance for tomorrow, you know? But with everything going on, I mean, I can understand why, you know, you wonder what's going on with some meteorologists, you know. But then I realized, especially when I lived up in Wisconsin, that meteorologists love to use the word icy. They love to use that word. I think it's because it's the easiest to spell. I-C-Y. Now, if that's hurt you in any way whatsoever, you know, one of the things that some people like to do for Easter is have live animals. I heard something about live rabbits, baby rabbits earlier, stuff like that. Some have live chicks. You can have baby ducks too. And you know, there is nothing better for feeling depressed than a baby duck. So they're helpful when you feel down. Okay, some of you are looking at me already going, Pastor, we've got brunch reservations. Hop to it. All right. I will. I'll hop to it. I'll hop to it because what in the blazes is going on with this lesson? This is a day of celebration. This is a day of rejoicing. What is going on with this fear? Fear? Really? Why are people afraid? Why are these women afraid? I mean, they had to go. They had to go do what women had to do because men wouldn't, because touching a dead body makes you ritually unclean, and well, being a woman was ritually unclean enough back in the first century. So the women had to go and take care of a body that they otherwise couldn't take care of until now because of the Passover and everything that happened. So now they're having to go in the dark to this tomb with a body that's been dead for 3 days. And yet they go. They were brave enough to go in the dark to this tomb. They were brave to go even though they didn't realize how they were going to get that stone out of the way. And yet the stones moved. And there's this young man dressed in white sitting there in the tomb. Otherwise, there's no body. Now, once upon a time, I could play the role of the young man dressed in white. The adjective changed. And they were alarmed. And then Jesus just simply reminds them, or the angel reminds them, that Jesus rose from the dead, just as he said. He did what he said he was going to do. And now, ladies, go and tell the guys who weren't going to get up early in the morning, who weren't going to come and handle a dead body, who weren't going to come and bother themselves with anything else like that, will you go back, wake them up, and tell them that he's alive? And he goes ahead of you to Galilee, just as he told you. And yet, so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to be afraid of? I mean, there are some jokes out there about this. You know, when the ladies eventually, because they had to tell someone sometime, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But supposedly there's a joke where Mary Magdalene goes to Peter and goes, "Peter, Peter, I got good news and bad news for you." Okay, what's the good news? Jesus is alive! Okay, what's the bad news? He wants to talk to you about last Thursday night. Or there's the general fact of Jesus is loose. Quick, everyone look busy. You don't know where he is. Is that part of our fear? I mean, fundamentally, is that part of our fear? Because everything that we assumed, especially these women, but everything we assumed about life and death has been wiped out. When you die, you're dead. End of story. Period. Now all of a sudden there's a comma at the end of that sentence, and what do we do with it? How do we deal with the fact that everything we assumed about the way the world works is no longer completely accurate? Things have fundamentally changed. And how many of us like change? Heck, most people don't even want to take change from a, you know, a cash machine anymore. We want the world to change, but we don't want to change. We're very fine, thank you very much. We don't like change. We don't like change so much that there are times when we will continue in horrible, evil, and painful situations simply because we buy into the lie that whatever is next has to be worse. The best days are behind us, because that's why we call them good old days. It has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that we have a tendency to remember the best parts and do our level best, almost subconsciously, if not consciously, to wipe out the worst. But we have this, no. We have people in abusive relationships that will stay because they don't think they can do any better. They can't get free. They don't deserve more or better. There are times when people stay in awful, terrible jobs because you're afraid to see what else might happen. We stay in situations and we hold on because the devil you know seems to be better than the devil you don't. And so when something like this would happen, oh my God, are you kidding me? I was very comfortable in my box. And now the box. Is empty. Are you going to help with distribution of communion? I think people might like the Cheerios more. But we don't like change. We really don't. Now, we all know that change is inevitable, though. The only real vote we have is how we deal with it, is how we transition. And that's probably what this story is about. These women had a lot that was all of a sudden thrown on them. They're the first to hear it, and they're the first to share it. And they have to come to grips with it themselves. Most of us need that. When we get bad news, heck, even if we get really good news, sometimes it's kind of like, okay, just sit down for a second. But here's the thing. The promise that we get out of this empty box, the promise that we get out of the words of this young man clothed in white to the women, that we eventually hear from the women themselves, is the fact that you can rise again. If something knocks you flat, if something makes you have to sit down for a moment, if something takes you a little while to have to go, okay, give me a second to process this, that the power to actually be able to do that is given to you, because God isn't back then. God is with you right now. He's alive, not will be living, not was alive. On this day, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. And all the horrors and all the nastiness that happened to him and all the sin that he took upon himself, that got dumped behind in that tomb. But notice it doesn't even stay there either. It's gone. Instead, we have a risen Savior who's with us, who goes ahead of us, who leads us. We no longer have to go, well, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. Every time I hear that, I just cringe. No, the Lord never gives you more than you can handle, because the Lord's not the one handing you the junk. It's normally us going, no, I've got it, thank you, it's my junk, it's pretty junk. We can handle the stuff that we have because the Lord is with us. We can handle all of that because God is with us. Everything that was is taken care of. All that will be is in the hands of the one who leads us. And more importantly, he's with us now. For whatever is knocking you flat, whatever is holding you down, whatever is making it so that rising again seems impossible, on this day, remember that the Lord indeed rose. He rose for you. And he lifts you up as well. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And out of that love, he comes back. And so, what was, let it go. What will be, put in the hands of God. For today, remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Yeah.